This is a Building Resilience Podcast, episode 181, The Pain Catastrophizing Scale. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Building Resilience Podcast. Now, a few months ago, I did a couple of podcast episodes about chronic pain and illness. And then last week, we talked all about catastrophizing in general. And today, I want to talk about something called the pain catastrophizing scale. So what exactly is this scale? Well, it's a questionnaire that you complete that is designed to really measure your tendency to catastrophize your pain. And again, by catastrophizing, we're kind of referring to an exaggeration or an amplification, I would say. An amplification of a negative mental state in response to the anticipation of actual pain. So to go a little bit deeper, the pain catastrophizing scale, it assesses three main components of catastrophizing. The first one is rumination, which really is like that persistent and repetitive focus on pain sensations. So like spinning around, focusing, perseverating on them. The second component is magnification, which is the tendency to magnify or amplify the actual amount of threat of the pain sensation. So you're kind of making it bigger. And the third component is helplessness, which is really the belief that you're not able to cope or control the pain. So let me give you a couple of examples of each one. Imagine you have a really bad headache and you keep thinking about how much it hurts over and over and over again. That's rumination. It's like when you can't stop thinking about how bad something is. Now, magnification is when you make the pain seem even worse than it really is. So for example, if you have a little cut on your finger, but you start thinking it's a huge injury that needs a bandage and a lot of attention, that's magnification. So you end up making a mountain out of a molehill, I think is the expression. Now, helplessness is when you feel like you have no power over the pain. So you may be thinking things like, no matter what I do, this pain isn't going to go away. It's like feeling stuck and not knowing how to make things better. So when we talk about catastrophizing, we're talking about these three things: thinking too much about how bad it feels, the rumination, making it seem worse than it is, the magnification, and feeling like you can't do anything about it, the helplessness. So essentially, the scale focuses on these three main categories. It actually consists of 13 items, and then you rate the extent to which you experience certain thoughts and feelings when you're experiencing pain on a scale of 0, which is no, not at all, to 4, all the time. And I want to go through the items with you, but first I want to talk about why the scale is used. It's actually used both in clinical settings and in research, and it is given to help clinicians and researchers really assess and understand pain-related catastrophizing, which ultimately can help them understand and manage chronic pain conditions that their patients and clients have. It's really a tool to help understand how someone thinks and feels about their pain and to measure how much someone worries or exaggerates about their pain. It could be really helpful in the type of therapy, in deciding the type of therapy that somebody will need. For example, if somebody scores really high on the pain catastrophizing scale, it may show that they need more help with dealing with the thoughts and feelings surrounding their pain rather than just treating the pain itself. So it will guide treatment and the strategies that you use to help alleviate the pain, and then the techniques to help with the thoughts and feelings. Now, I want to inject here just one little comment. We are not saying that pain is not real. We are not saying that it's made up in your head or anything like that, or you're catastrophizing something that isn't real. We are talking about all pain is real. everything is real. You can go back and listen to those pain episodes where I really, hopefully you got the message that I emphasize that. But what we're looking at is, are there things that we do that make the pain worse, so to speak? So that's what we're looking at. The scale can also be used to track progress. People can do the scale over and over, and you can see if what they are doing, or what, if you're a clinician, you are doing to help them, are your clients getting better at handling their pain-related thoughts and feelings? So it's a way to track the progress in therapy or treatment. And lastly, the scale is really a good way to develop some personal awareness. It can help you become aware of your own thoughts and feelings about pain. And that's why I wanted to share it with you on the podcast today. It's really important because a high score on the pain catastrophizing scale does indicate a greater tendency to catastrophize about pain, which we know then is often associated with increased pain severity, disability, and a lot of psychological distress around the pain. Now, based on what we've talked about in previous episodes, you can kind of see why this happens when we catastrophize, regardless of whether the pain is structural in nature or if it's a mind or body combination. We're sending messages of danger to our nervous system, which means that everything will be amped up. And in order to reduce pain, we actually need to send messages to our brain of safety. When we fear pain, or when we read pain as being danger, our nervous system then is going to be in a constant state of alert, and that fear and alert is going to fuel our pain. There is actually something called the pain-fear cycle. And that is when we feel pain, we can start to fear the pain, fear the symptoms coming on. Oh no, here they come again. I'm going to have a terrible day, which actually leads to more pain, which then leads to more fear. And by fear, it can really be anything that sends messages of danger. So I know that sometimes clients will say to me, I don't fear the pain. And that's why I want you to have a larger perspective. And what we mean by fear the pain, it could be frustrated with it, annoyance with it, sadness with it. These are all elements of fear disguised. I don't want these symptoms and I must get rid of them. And that amplifies it all. So the scale allows you to see if fear or any of these disguised friends are lurking. Because if they are, frustration, annoyance, sadness, this intensity of the need to get rid of the pain, they actually can contribute to amplifying your pain. Now, the pain catastrophizing scale isn't about getting rid of pain. It is about allowing you to see what is going on in your mind so you can see, are there better ways that I can cope with my pain overall? So let's talk now about the individual items in the scale. The first one is the statement. And remember, you're going to rate the statement on 0 to 4, 0 being not at all, 4 being all the time. So the first statement is, I worry all the time about whether the pain will end. So the example of this is, maybe you have a headache that's been bothering you all day, and you keep wondering if it's ever going to go away, and you worry that it might get worse instead of better. And this worry occupies your thoughts throughout the day. Now, the second statement is, I feel I can't go on. And the example can be, you have a stomach ache and it's so intense, you feel like you just can't handle it anymore. You feel overwhelmed by the pain and you start thinking you can't continue doing what you planned for the day. The third item is, it's terrible and I think it's never going to get any better. I can't do anything to decrease the intensity of the pain. So for example, you have a tension headache. You try various methods like drinking water and resting and massaging your temples, but nothing seems to make the pain go away. So you end up feeling like you're powerless to lessen the intensity of the pain. The fourth statement that you're going to rate is, it's awful and I feel that it overwhelms me. I feel I can't go on with my regular activities. An example, maybe you have a cramp or pain in your leg that makes it painful to walk. Because of this, you feel like you can't participate in your usual activities like going for a run or going outside. The fifth statement is, I feel I can't stand it anymore. An example is, maybe you have a sore throat and every time you swallow it hurts. And after a while, you start feeling like you can't bear the discomfort any longer. It's as if the pain has become unbearable for you. The sixth statement is, I become afraid that the pain will get worse. So for example, you have a burn on your hand from touching a hot pan. And instead of just treating it, you start worrying that the burn might get infected or might become more painful. This fear of pain escalates and it makes you even more anxious. The seventh statement is, I keep thinking of other painful events. So for example, you're experiencing a headache, but instead of just focusing on the pain in your head, your mind starts wandering to past experiences of pain, like the time that you broke your arm, or maybe when you had like a bad sunburn or a bad rash. You find yourself dwelling on these past painful events, which adds to your current discomfort and distress. Eight is, I anxiously want the pain to go away. Maybe you cut yourself and the pain is sharp and throbbing, and you start to feel anxious and restless, desperately wishing for the pain to stop so you can go back to doing whatever you're doing without this distraction. So your anxiety about the pain intensifies as you continuously check the cut, hoping that it's going to heal. Ninth is, when I'm in pain, I can't seem to keep it out of my mind. The example is, let's say you have a toothache, and even when you try to distract yourself by maybe watching TV, you find yourself constantly aware of the pain in your tooth. It's like the pain keeps popping up in your thoughts no matter what you do. Now, the 10th is, I keep thinking about how much it hurts. For example, you sprained your ankle, and maybe it is not a severe injury and you can't stop dwelling on how bad the pain feels. You keep telling yourself, ow, my ankle hurts so much, it's hard to focus on anything else at all. The 11th is, I keep thinking about how badly I want the pain to stop. An example is, you have a migraine headache and it's making you feel nauseous, and maybe there's light sensitivity, and all you can think about is how much you wish the pain would go away so you could just feel normal again. The 12th one is, there's nothing I can do to reduce the intensity of the pain. For example, maybe you have a backache and maybe you have back pain and you're sitting for a long time at your desk and you know that you're not able to sit for too long, and you try different stretches and you try taking pain relievers and nothing seems to alleviate the pain. You start feeling really helpless because nothing you seem to do make a difference. And then the 13th item is, I wonder whether something serious may happen. So for example, you have a sharp pain on your side. You start worrying that it might be something serious like appendicitis. And this worry about the pain being a sign of a more severe health issue can add to your overall distress. Now, of course, you want to check things out. So if you do have a sharp pain, this means that you may want to get some attention and take care of things. But this is when you start to worry that there's more serious things attached to all of your pain. These are variations of the scale, and it gives you a good idea. You can see how it measures your level of rumination, magnification, and helpfulness. And I wanted to introduce this scale to you, especially if you suffer from a lot of pain. Now, I know that some of the examples I used, a lot of people will say, well, I wish I had that kind of pain problem. But catastrophizing, it's with all types of pain, all levels of pain. We have two choices. We can try to think thoughts that will help us send messages of safety, which will help reduce our pain regardless of what causes our pain, or send more messages of danger that will increase our pain. So it doesn't matter if it's a small cut or something that is more substantial. Maybe you've been in an accident or there are injuries like that. Catastrophizing happens on all levels. I think it's really helpful to note how your thoughts and feelings, your level of catastrophizing, can impact your pain. Again, don't get me wrong. The pain is real. Nobody is disputing that. But if you note that you are high on the scale of this pain catastrophizing scale, it's good information. And there's no shame or blame. We're not trying to say it's a bad thing if you're up there because you're doing something wrong. It's just interesting to note that that is where your brain goes to. Our brain is always trying to help us. It's trying to protect us. It's keeping us busy. And it thinks that these thoughts about the pain will somehow make things better. And it's helpful to know they will not. They will make things worse. So if you catch yourself saying one or having one of these statements pop up all the time, I just urge you to get curious and get compassionate. Oh, I see what you're doing, brain. Isn't it interesting you're trying to help me? But I know it's not helpful. Thank you, though. I'm going to invest more in the thoughts and feelings that send messages of safety. Things like, regardless of the pain, I'm still safe. Or to even challenge some of these thoughts. Is this really true? Is there another way that I can think about this pain? What is the most compassionate and kind thing I can do for myself now? How can I distract myself to notice something more pleasant? Is this thought going to help me or hurt me? Again, these things are not going to take away the pain, but sometimes they can help us build awareness and introduce more safety and regulation into our nervous system. And when we befriend our nervous system and introduce more safety, then often a byproduct is that things will be less intense. And overall, we can feel better, even if marginally better. The goal is not to fix. The goal is awareness. But it is often amazing what some awareness can do. So I hope you found that helpful. I hope that you are willing to go explore what some of your thoughts are to see if they can be contributing to amplifying your pain. And then let me know what you think. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.